So looking up Kate's email is an interesting story. We did a discussion a couple of weeks ago with Mike from South Africa, Katie's former guru, the guy who did the presence process, and we got into talking about UFO abductions and this and that, and about this guy, Wes Perry?
Penray.
Wes Perry?
Penray.
P-E-N-R-E,
Penray.
Yeah, Penray, a very advanced, whacked-out thing about the digitizing of humans, the matrixization.
The singularity.
The singularity.
Not the singularity,
And quite extreme. And, of course, I could handle it. I said most of that had already happened, my standard response to anybody. And so I said, no, Katie, I think you need to hear this. You need to hear Ion talking to this advanced academic futurist from Rotterdam. He's speaking in Rotterdam anyways. And it's an awesome, I play a bit, it's very avant-garde or advanced futurism, and then I stop and get Ian to comment on it. So I sent it to Katie, and she wrote back on November 29th, I cannot even fucking believe how awesome this talk is. This is your average woman today, Dave. Where's the decent people we knew in the 60s, Dave? Or even at CKLN, where's Chris Swadinsky? You know, decent people, I don't fucking swear. I cannot even fucking believe how awesome this talk is. I know I said that yesterday, but I will say it again. I'm having so much fun. So then I ask her, so we'll discuss this, not this week, but the week after? And Katie says, yes, plan on me calling you at 9 p.m. on December 9th. This talk, now this was a good part. This is where Bob Slack happens. She says, this talk addresses everything I need and was the missing piece for finishing my novel. Now, that's pretty fucking amazing.
It is pretty fucking amazing.
Wow. You go, timing is perfect. I'm over the moon excited. So are we allowed to talk about the fact you're writing a novel, or is that top secret?
No, it's not top secret. I mean, I don't want to get too much into that, because it's boring to other people. But, yeah, I mean, it's just all the missing pieces. This is,
right.
I feel like this was my Nag Hammadi clay jar experience. Like, you guys were talking about this a year ago, almost to the day. So it's the 9th. You had this talk, what, December 15th, 2016?
Oh, yeah?
So it was, like, within a week of this exact same time last year you were talking about this.
Yeah.
I had no idea. And I know that this talk wasn't for me. I'm not saying that at all. But it feels like that. Like, it feels like you had the talk. It was preserved. I wouldn't have been ready for it last year. And then this is
right.
The year that I get to find those clay jars in the cave and read it and listen, and it just explains everything. It just puts Ion in a context that is like the perfect figure ground. I would say
right,
a foil, but it's not really
novel,
a foil.
Mm-hmm. In your novel, you had to find out where we were going. So you
mm-hmm.
can figure out a response to it. So this
mm-hmm.
extreme talk, this extreme Penray book began it, and then Ion's correcting, responding to that ultimate disappearance scenario
mm-hmm.
is something for you, like you say, the ultimate ground. What's your novel going to do about that? So, yeah, I can see how this would work.
Yeah.
To give you a way to end your novel. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I go, yay. And then you say, there isn't a big enough yay, even though I'd put in four A's, Y-A-A-A-A-W-Y. It was not enough, Carol. It wasn't even a big enough yay.
Nope, there wasn't a big enough yay.
All right, so now you have sent notes
mm-hmm.
to your processing of this recording. So let me just
mm-hmm.
see if anybody's here I need to address before we get into it. Well, here's a new
thing. So are we going to hear the recording? What's going to happen?
No, we played the recording a year ago. We're going to hear Kate's response to it. Katie's response to it. And Reiner left. Where's Reiner? I wanted to ask Reiner, or at least maybe it's Lauren. Lauren and Reiner, could you call back in? I had something to say. They were there during the music. But now this Newark number, if I don't know, it's the one that's always happening, but actually has a name now. Newark, so 973 is always calling in and never answers. So, Tim, you want to say something? That's a new name for us.
No, I just want to say hi, Bob.
Have you been calling in before? Are you the Newark number that never responds?
I don't think so.
This is the first time you've called in?
No, I've called in before.
Oh, okay. What's your angle on Iron Dome and Dobbstown? What perspective do you take?
I can't really say. It's everything.
No, we're unclassifiable. What?
Huh?
What'd you say? It's everything to you?
Yeah, at this point, I really don't know anything else.
Yeah, because it's hard to get a perspective on us. Hard to take an angle. Never know what we're going to do next. Right?
Yeah, to a certain extent.
Well, then you miss the other parts. There's no limitation here. Okay, so that's Tim. Thank you, Tim. Now we're going to have an interesting discussion with Katie, and who's out there in Virginia.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to mute you, and we're going to keep it no background noises. So here's so Katie, do I read the opening of your notes, or is there something that you want to say?
No, I don't think you need to read the opening of the notes. You can just keep them, and if we decide we want to look at something together, we can look at something together. I didn't want to plan too much because I just want to start talking and see what happens. So I didn't really come
now,
up with an agenda.
Can you transcribe this? Is this a
I wouldn't call it a transcription. I mean, you can't, if you go back and listen, it probably doesn't match everything, but I just took notes as I was listening so that I could make sure that it was so much good stuff. I mean, it's, I think classic Ion at their best included all of the different ways that they like to communicate with the puns and the rants and humor and intelligence. Like it had some
and
of everything.
Serious. Yeah, and taking the guy as word and correcting it, supplementing it.
Mm-hmm.
So the beginning is interesting. This guy's name was Gerd. You have Gerd saying, the future is better than we think.
Mm-hmm.
And Ion says, there is no future, there's only now. Now, I say there's not even a now, and Ion would agree with that, but he's keeping it simple here. There's no future, there's only now. The rub is that you are projecting something into the future, but you can change that at a drop. There's no future. So whether it is richer or poorer is nebulous.
Mm-hmm.
So then Gerd, who is dealing with the Trump just coming in, says, take Trump out of that occasion. And then Ion says, confirms that Trump will change everything more than Gerd realizes. Now that's pretty good, eh? The academic professor feels quite superior to Trump, and he has no clue what Trump's going to do to him and his futurist projection. And he says, Gerd.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah,
Sorry. Well, I was just going to, I looked up Gerd's bio during the music. I hadn't done that previously.
Yeah.
And if you read, I'll read the first paragraph of it to you. It's pretty pompous, but not in a way that he doesn't deserve the pomposity he's exhibiting. Can I read this to you?
Yeah.
Okay. The future is already here. We just haven't paid attention. Many of us are far too busy coping with present challenges to explore the future in any real depth. And when we do, our hopes and fears often run away with us, resulting in utopias or dystopias that are not very helpful in terms of planning and decisions. Today's leaders and their organizations need a dedicated, passionate, long-term understanding of the future if they are to successfully navigate the exponential waves of change. For countless individuals and organizations around the globe, that intelligence is called Gerd Lannard. And I thought it was really funny, like he's talking about navigating the exponential waves of change as though he were the person to teach us to navigate the maelstrom, and he's not.
Yes.
And then he's, I mean, almost claiming to be not what Ion is, because Ion doesn't claim to be an intelligence, but many other channeled entities or groups of entities do. So he's talking like, I mean, he's calling himself an intelligence that's here to help us navigate the future. And I just found that funny because it's almost like he's resonating with what you're saying and what you're doing and picking up on that. But then he's so he's hearing the dulcimer tone, and Ion mentions that later in his analysis of GERD. But that's another example of how he's picking up on what you're doing and what Ion's doing and trying to claim it as his own.
Yes. And he's talking to a corporate audience, you know, business executives. They paid a lot of money to hear him. He's got high standing in academia. So in that world, you have to, I guess, claim you're quite confident of what you do. They might call it a macho scene. So he says, Ion says to us, confirms that Trump will change everything more than GERD realizes. And I'm thinking of Gerd Stern. He was born in Germany. He pronounces it Gerd, not GERD. But I don't know if this guy pronounced it Gerd, but I'll say Gerd.
Gerd.
You quote him. Gerd says, many of us are worried about the future. People are worried that robots will kill us or take our jobs. When you take out the Hollywood dystopian stories, there are many good things to look forward to. Ubiquitous information. He likes that. Solution of world problems like disease elimination. There will be vast accomplishments. So Ion says, no, you are going to get better at disease. See, this is what humans don't realize. At what people... I mean, when they told Carolyn once she had the treatment for cancer and she'd get rid of it if she wanted to, the humans, needing contrast, would come in with a more virulent form of disease. They'll always make disease to keep the contrast tactile interplay going. This is a very deep insight that humans don't realize. If everybody realized, oh, okay, we're working, researching, we got corporate funding from General Motors, and we're going to solve the latest H1N1 virus, and then they work at it, and they might get somewhere, might not, but they don't know it's going to get worse later. See, that would really, most people can't live that way, thinking that what they do is going to be wiped out. But look what Ion says. And no one says this. It's a unique statement. He says, no, you are going to get better at disease. What happens is that you separate yourself from your power, and then you become a little man. Then you have to fight really hard to stay a little man. Remember, Ion says, the hardest thing to do is to age. There shouldn't be any lack of ease anyway. Or anyway, I'm not sure what that would be. There shouldn't be any lack of ease anyway, or anyway. You are all eternal, so it is very challenging to keep making plagues to take so many of you out. It takes a lot of energy to create things to make people die. No one's ever said that before. It's very difficult to expire in ICU. They take over every bodily function. They want you on death's door. Only the sick have need of a physician. And they are running out of diseases to cause. He says that doctors, and we played this very good overview last week where Ion talked about how medicine causes the diseases. That was our before we do our disease series, which we're starting in the details tonight. So then, so I say, I guess to Ion, so a lot of people will be living healthier and a lot of people will be dying. Little man will keep making diseases. Example of chickenpox turning into shingles and Zovirax, which I don't even know what that is.
So at that point, Ion, he was going into a mini rant, and he was saying that the drug companies had leftover Zovirax that they wanted to sell, so then they invented shingles so that now you can just have chickenpox forever instead of once.
Zovirax will make it come back?
Well, no, they wanted to sell the leftover Zovirax that they had. So
that'll stop
shingles.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Is the drug causing shingles?
No, they wanted another drug. They wanted to cause another drug so they could sell some more Zovirax to treat it.
You said they wanted to cause a drug. They wanted to cause another disease.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I said that. They wanted to cause another disease, so that they would have another reason to sell the Zovirax.
Okay.
So because you only get chickenpox once.
I knew he said that.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Yeah, Zovirax one.
Yeah. Chickenpox
one. Okay, so then, Gerd says machine language understanding. Machines can understand what we are saying and can talk to us. In a few years, you can speak to machine like a friend. There was a story I posted earlier today of the millennials. They want to, 27% would date a robot. And then they have a picture of a girl kissing a robot. And Evan writes in, man, what are they doing here? It's the men who are the majority that want robots, not women. So she objected, as usual, to everything I post, Evan objects to it. Not necessarily to me, but to the topic. Definitely anything about Trump she doesn't like. So Gerd says, that is positive when we get speaking to a machine like a friend. But then we have the issue of dehumanized society, pandemics, loss of free will, if you perceive that to be a problem, loss of friends. So I say, so Garrett is projecting speech recognition, and is Ion saying that we won't be made, that won't be made possible by their cloud? And then Ion says, yes, language has changed into text. You can communicate with letters that mean something without saying a word due to the alphanumeric construct. You can replace that at any time with anything. If you don't know what you are saying, or you are afraid to say the wrong thing, you won't be able to say anything. When you have lack of ease, the cloud will take care of it. The cloud won't even tell you what's going on. It will just do it. The TV started as a 6-inch screen and then got to be the size of a side of a building. And now it's the same 6-inch screen we were all watching before when Adolf Hitler was on. And we don't give him credit for that. The machine will do everything for you. The cloud will allow the supremacists to achieve and do things that other people aren't able to do. So he's saying that all the so-called bad things, political incorrectness, empire building, will be done even better thanks to machine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anybody will be able to do anything better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a thought. I don't go into that much. Okay, that's our little intro. So, Kate, what did you want to go into? Katie,
okay, so,
what did you want to go into?
I mean, I love what we're doing right now. This is fine. Let's just kind of go through. I wanted to hear what other patterns and things that you could offer, and then
right.
I might have some questions throughout. But let me back up a little bit more. And how did you find this guy, and why did you decide to look at this? And then this was a private conversation that you had with Ian, and then you played it for a payday. It was in Coach House last year,
yeah.
right? And so that everybody was up just to listen to this, right? That's how that went?
Yeah,
and then,
I don't know. I might have Googled some friend. Maybe there was an article on him somewhere.
But why were you thinking about this? Were you thinking about...
Well, I was like Ion talking about technology and about what's coming.
Okay.
And so I saw an article. Someone pointed this out to me or somehow, so I listened to it and I said, oh, this is really good. So
mm-hmm.
I said, I'll play it next payday and have Ion comment on it. Or maybe I did it privately. No, I did it privately with Ion.
Yeah, you did it privately, and then
you
played it right away. So you had talked to Ion on maybe a Monday, and then you did this the following Saturday, right?
Yeah, it was so good. I knew it was good. And
mm-hmm.
it's, this guy's talking high-tech futurism, and this is what Ion, should be able to comment on. And
mm-hmm.
Ion does a great job picking it apart and says, and that's where I got the idea from the Penray thing about us going, so digital, it's ridiculous. We don't even exist as humans or something. That's what Ion was saying was going to happen. If you heard it all,
he says the
technology is going to get better and better and better, and most people won't be able to take it. They won't be able to adjust
to it. They'll be able to handle the perfection. So,
right.
Forgive me that I don't know this, but I don't. So, Ion's not around now, correct?
He's not around for the public.
For the public, but you're still... No, that was my next question.
Yeah, I'm still talking to Ion.
You're still talking to Ion regularly.
Yeah, we're doing our private project.
Like weekly,
yeah,
you're doing this.
Yeah, more than weekly. We do our private projects with Ion, the actual things that we claim we were going to do, we are doing. But the Ion is not available to the public because Ion made general statements. He said Trump would win, and he did. And then Trump would create a scene that would shock everybody, which has happened. And
mm-hmm.
nobody will stop Trump. And he'll eventually be put on Mount Rushmore, but he'll pay for it. And also he'll be in office for as long as he wants. And there will be a constitutional convention. So maybe he changes the rules or something. But
mm-hmm.
it's a whole scenario that nobody believes. Most people don't believe. And if you're... someone, a deplorable, who hopes Trump does that, you don't know if it's going to happen or not, and you wouldn't be confident, and you worry about whether Trump will be gone next week. So, but Ion laid it out for the next couple of years, and I started to sit around and argue with every little incident that happens every couple of weeks with Trump. The questions will be like too much on the outer kingdom,
mm-hmm.
social mortal world. And people will be want to know because they're all getting involved and upset with what Trump seems to be doing, and they don't like it and all the anxiety. And Ion's not addressing that. He told you what the general plan is, what's going to happen, and that's that. Also, Ion suggested that much other crazy stuff's going to be happening. So Ion gave us the principles to handle this, and you should go back in the archives and listen to what I told you. And so some people think just this week when Trump is moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, that's going to cause World War III. So right there, he's moving into issues, and Ian says there will be a war in the Middle East and lots of blood. But Ian doesn't, that's not going to happen to the ascending.
Right.
So Ian is addressing the ascending, not all these little people concerns. So he's done enough, told you the big pattern, is right about it so far, so that should give you confidence. And now you should find out what Ian meant for you personally by listening to the excerpts we're playing or going back into the archives. So
okay.
I think that's Ion's justification for not being available right now.
So did I hear you correctly? He just doesn't want to address. He doesn't want to get into like a Nostradamus type role. Like he doesn't want to be answering stuff about predictions.
Right. Oh yeah. And another factor is Ion says that Ion will be blamed as people get more and more fucked up over this Trumpism, they really realize something else is going on. They're going to look around for what's causing this. And we have said publicly that he's on the drops. So people will start to look at us and Ion and send in the deep state. So Ion, I think, is also protecting us, me and Carolyn, in the midst of this, what's happening.
But so, he'll be back. They'll be back eventually, or you don't know, or you're not going to say, or
I don't know. I assume he will be. They will be, I assume it.
Like before. Just appear.
I don't see Ion being, I think we're going to have to go through a year or so of a Trump unfolding. Though I don't know. Ion could show up in the middle of this show. Ion comes in on its own now. In the old days, back in cash flow, I would bring Ion in. But Ion has always come in on their own once over the last 2 years.
Yeah,
so,
and I was just curious. I'm not attached or anything.
Right.
I'm just want to make sure I was up to speed on what was going on.
Yeah, it's very interesting what Ion has done, and many people, regular INOT students, are really appreciating this. Jermaine was saying on Tuesday, this is really great. She's catching up on archives and a whole bunch of stuff and other stuff that I'm doing. And she wouldn't have if Ion was here. She'd be tuning in every week and getting thrown by whatever Ion would be saying. So she really likes this break. And so a lot of people like this break to sort of catch up. So natural. Ion did it before. Ion was gone for 2 years, 2012 and 2013.
Yeah, that's when I first came. And then they came back during Bob Fest.
Yeah, that was November 2013. And they were there for a couple of times, a couple of days or... And then they took a break till February 22nd, 2014. And then they were regular from then until pretty well the same February 28th or so was the last time Ion was on. It was on What Youth. So that was 3 years later. So Ion did a three-year stretch. But there we went away. I think there was a couple of six-week break in there somewhere.
Yeah,
but,
you went to... stay with Roxy for a while.
I went to York,
week. And then you came back.
Yeah, and so Ion was not there.
Yeah.
In August, September. So the point is Ion had a short break, but basically was here for 3 years. I mean, that's a lot of radio. And if you just go back and listen to any of it, you realize you didn't notice half of it, and it's all new, what Ion said. You haven't taken it in. So as we do, we're playing now stuff from 2009, first couple of months.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this medical series that Carol did, an Encyclopedia of Medicine. That's very interesting to hear what we didn't understand back then in light of 7 years later. It makes more sense what Ion was saying.
Is it like total biology disease origin type stuff?
Yeah, Carol goes through a whole bunch of diseases, alphabetical order. And Ion gives their view of how you treat it or what it is, what causes it.
But Ion hates total biology, so do we fight I haven't listened lately. Do we fight about total biology?
Well, you bring up what they say, and it's pleasant, but you're just starting. It might get meaner later.
Okay.
But
they give
their opinion. What?
It's interesting that, I mean, your average... New Age person doesn't know total biology, but they know Louise Hay. They would pull up the Louise Hay chart and look at why they have a cold sore. well, now Louise Hay is dead. So
yeah.
It's interesting that this more probably true version of this, now Carolyn's doing it.
Yes. Yeah.
It'll be better than what Louise did.
That's right. And now Carolyn didn't know about the drops, didn't have any of what we have, didn't have Remag or anything at the time. So it's interesting there because we can see what Ion is not saying to Carolyn that he's going to mm-hmm. say a year later, because this is April 21st, 09. Ion mm-hmm. has only been there a month. And already, just listen, when you hear it, just listen to the in-depth stuff that's already been talked about.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. I think that'll
yeah.
be fascinating. And then when you...
So listen to this, Kate. So just to finish it. So the opening ailments are acne, and then I didn't write it in, but acne rosacea.
Rosacea.
Acne rosacea is a subtitle, mm-hmm. a subsection of the acne, and then addictions, and then agoraphobia and allergies. That's what we'll be hearing tonight. It's about an hour long, and, you know, we're in the A section. And
oh, I love all those. I have,
yeah,
I've had all of those.
Wonderful to have. Wonderful things
all
to
of
have.
Them. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have, those are some of my top ones.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, too, when you first did this talk last year with Roxy and Bill and everybody who was up listening to this after you had just spoken to Ion, did you think that was pretty nifty at the time? Bill loved
the
it.
Garrett
and he goes,
thing?
Yeah, this, yeah. And Ion
I thought that Ion, I was happy with Ion not holding back, and it gets complicated what Ion means. It's challenging
mm-hmm.
what Ion is trying to say in contradistinction to Gerd. It's an amazing
mm-hmm.
tape. It should be mandatory for the whole world. It should have
yeah, see,
United
I thought
Nation.
It was amazing, too. And then
yeah.
One more off-topic comment, and then we'll get back to my notes. But I'd sent you an email. I don't know if you read it, but so Monday or Tuesday after I was on the show last time 2 weeks ago, I had to go for a physical, my routine physical that we have to have for work. And I was just sitting there with my doctor, and he looked at my phone and made a comment about it. And so I said, it's just something about the singularity. I can't remember how we segued into it, but we were talking about the technology of the phone. And he sat in the office with me and didn't give me my physical and sat and talked to me for an hour about the singularity and the Wes Penray book and what he thought
he knew
about
that.
The
book?
No, he did not, but he was so fascinated by what I had to say that he just sat there and talked to me for an hour. And it was so cool to have that conversation. And I was talking to him about how Snapchat is practice for being able to project your consciousness into an avatar and asking him if he had ever tried it. And he said no, so I whipped out my phone and we did a Snapchat so he could see what that was like. And then he did ask me to send him a PDF of the Wes Penray book, which he probably won't read. He probably has a lot to do. But it was
sending the audio of Ion.
I probably should do that.
Yeah,
it's just
they tried
in the last couple of weeks, this is the first time I've ever been able to talk about Ion in the context of really extreme yet grounded secular intelligence, and it is it's just such an awesome context for it. Like previously, especially back, you know, in 2012, 5 years ago, this whole philosophy or whatever you want to call it was, you know, kind of an alternative for the Abraham material that Esther Hicks channeled or the Seth material before that or the Raw material or anything else that I had looked at in the past. But to ground it against something so extreme but so respected by just regular, intelligent little men, it's just been really fun. And it's been the most grounding conversations that I've ever had about this material because of the level of confidence that the context affords. And even for the first time, I mean, of course, my husband knows I'm in here having these conversations, but he's not super interested in this stuff. It's just not his deal, and that's fine. But just the other night, he said, just will you play some of this for me? So, because I listen a lot when I'm doing the dishes, and so I, you know, forwarded to a part where you and I were talking, and he sat and he listened to it for a little while. So it's like all of a sudden, it's just so much easier to talk about.
Oh, this is our conversation, not the geared thing.
No, our conversation. Yeah.
Right.
Which before, it just, I mean, it's not like he didn't want to hear it. It just, it's like, I don't want to watch football. You know, you go ahead and do that. So it's just interesting when you talk about it in these terms, how interesting it is
practical.
To just the average person. Yeah, it's very practical. And I think, you know, very fascinating, too. So, anyway.
So you wrote to me about your doctor visit. You said, my doctor visit today, I had to have a physical today for my health insurance. We spent my entire visit talking about the singularity, and he was so interested in what I had to say. It was awesome. And so you had a lot of things to say based on reacting to Garrett and Ion.
Well, it was before even Garrett,
did.
Really. It was
It
was just coming off of the R. Wes Penray conversation.
Yeah.
Before I had listened to the Garrett stuff. And that was a neat synchronicity too, and an anomaly certainly. You know, just letting me know that I'm
no,
on
but
the
see
right
the
path.
Garrett talk, you got this advanced corporate guys are paying a lot of money to hear this guy. It's their world. This is the mainstream. They're always going to worrying about the future and having some consultant speak to them. So you take that practical world and you put Ion in the middle of it, and Ion takes it on seriously. It's a phenomenal demonstration of what Ion is. Matter of fact, you
really
can play
is.
It to people and not even say what Ion is. He just sounds like a smart human being responding to Garrett. But after a while, you might wonder how come Ion seems to know and is quite confident about what's going to happen. You know, then you might not think it's human.
Right.
If you were just a little man listening to this. Okay, so let's go into whatever point.
Yeah.
Is
so
let's just go through
the next part. So you were talking. You were reading the part about. How the cloud will allow the supremacists to achieve and do things that other people aren't able to do. And during that part, Adolf Hitler was mentioned, and you had said something at some point, I think it was even in another conversation, Bob, about how technology, I think it was radio technology, was the massage that enabled something like Hitler to happen. That because of the – so can you say something to that? Because I want to know exactly what that is. So the fact that we were discarnate on the radio made people – the rub of that media was that we stopped caring enough that we could have a mass murderer, like a Holocaust?
Yes. First of all, radio is the first live collective medium. You're taking in new information, whether it's music, talk, whatever, but it's live, and you listen, and everybody across the nations are listening. And so it's a present that no one ever shared in groups form on such a big scale before. So that's the first thing to notice, the simultaneous mass experience. And mass means instantaneity. It doesn't mean numbers. You can have 10 people listening to the radio. It's the same effect as a million people.
Mm-hmm.
They're all doing it at the same time. So what does that mean to be experiencing something? And you tend to, as a human being, want to know where the content's going. So you're all involved in it. So that's before that you had the telephone, which was an interpersonal one-on-one live overcoming of time and space. If there used to be party lines in there, but that was minuscule. So radio is the first major mass collective ESP almost going on that demands an immediate response that you may not have any guidelines for. No one knew. Okay. So McLuhan then runs through what happened, and he just looks at the events and says, oh, here's the pattern. The instant radio tactility plus the oral content retrieved the preliterate oral culture for many people. So Germany started yearning for the pure Aryan race.
Mm-hmm.
Mussolini yearned for going back to Rome. So all these ancient images that came from books, in the various national languages, got triggered. It's almost like a sensory fill-in. Oh, okay, we're now all ESP in a mishmash in a global membrane. We must recover our collective identity. So here's an interesting point, too, is that what happened in the Soviet Union? Well, Lenin's gone. why did Stalin take it the way he did? Well, he was retrieving medieval Russia, the ancient, whatever empire was back there with Peter the Great. So the feudalism that the Soviet Union engaged and embraced, they would not tolerate anything after 1850. They were trying to retrieve the medieval collectivism plus book culture, which they didn't have that much of. Places like Peterborough, I think that was it, Peterburg. They had a high, St. Petersburg. I think they had another name before that. They had high literary culture, but that was just in the little city. The majority of the Soviet Union was peasants, you know, very primitive, pre-literate peasants. And so it evoked these ancient tribal archetypes. So they had everybody getting ready to bring in their tribal archetype, and they all started fighting for space and getting claustrophobic, and so World War II broke up, broke out. So every new medium causes war, and radio proved that, because there was a lot of peace before World War I. Like, for a long stretch, it was a golden era in European history. I forget the name of the period the historians call it. You know, like from 1870 to 1914. It's a nice period and relatively peaceful. Well, the airplane, the motor car, the telephone, movies, new technology came in, so you had World War I. But you didn't have the collective effect of radio. So then radio bursts in after World War I, and that's going to have a new shock to everybody. So that leads to the next war, World War II. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. also, because everybody is beginning to experience simultaneous what we call the discarnate emotion of multitude effect, the chemical body, the old physical body, becomes not so important. And so that's why you can have 6 million people killed in the concentration camp. Mm-hmm. Human chemical bodies became expendable. It was even, part of the ideology of the elites in North America and Europe about eugenics and, you know, just genetically modulate the population. The chemical body became what you could call an art form. It became programmable, because it was the old content for the new electrified, disembodied, global membrane possession situation that was given its best painting by Finning its Wake. That describes in book form this mosh pit of merging of intelligence. And nobody foresaw the effects, and some of them were World War II and concentration camps. But then if you just think of the 50s, it suddenly, look at the images you have of World War II, these massive armies, you know, on marching around with tanks, blowing things up. And then you go 10 years later, it's Elvis on Ed Sullivan. Like, mm-hmm. it's a totally different atmosphere, because a whole new medium, television, came in and changed mm-hmm. the atmosphere again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the 60s with the global theater. So you look at each decade, is incredible. And the best way, practical way to understand the differences between each decade is look at the medium of choice, the mm-hmm. medium that's dominating, and usually people aren't fully aware of its effects. So,
and so that's what this talk is about to me, is that Ion is getting ready, they're trying to tell us what this new technology, how it's going to massage us and rub us. So it's not so much about, like Gerd wants to talk about how we're going to manage when everything is smart. And we'll get into detail as we go through the rest of the talk. Ion wants to talk about how it's going to rub us.
Itself. The real technology Gerd doesn't know about is Iondom.
Mm-hmm.
It's our technologies,
mm-hmm.
which are going to create more carbon. And, you know, Al Gore's running around trying to stomp out carbon. But we need more carbon to feed the RNA drops in our products we offer, and oxygen will be diminished.
Mm-hmm.
Huge changes beyond what science knows is happening already, and this could be partly why there's so many fires. What does that count? Is that burning up oxygen? Is that like consumption of oxygen? And we want to get rid of oxygen, so we are
creating lots of carbon.
Yeah, look at that. A lot of fires creating a lot of carbon and diminishing the oxygen. It's so perfect in light of what Ion said many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening. And so Ion is a dangerous frequency that's coming in for a little man.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't ascend. So Ion, what's great about this dialogue with Gerd is Gerd's bringing in normal Android meme technologies and how the normal conventional concerns. You're going to lose your job. you're going to have a lot of free time. What are you going to do? There are diseases running amok, other things that you can't even imagine, but within the technological level. I'd love to have Gerd hear this, hear Ion, and he'd have to say, who is that guy talking? How come he seems to know? You know, and that's what, then we'd have an interesting conversation, but I haven't a chance to email them or even get them interested. I'm not wasting my time too much with them. But ideally, you would get Gerd on here and have a discussion or argument with Ion. So that would be really interesting.
Oh, he wouldn't
Gerd
be able to. He wouldn't last.
Said.
He wouldn't last.
Yeah, people
three
can't
minutes.
Last. They can't.
No.
We are the most avant-garde frequency going, you know, and people just can't keep up with it. Now, let me just see if anybody's come in. Nope, nobody. I was hoping Reiner would come back. Okay, so do you want me to read the next part just to get you
sure.
back into it?
Sure.
So, Ion says they are running out of diseases, and then shingles and Zorax.
No, go to page 2 and start from the top of page 2.
Okay, before I do that, Gerd says, machine language understanding. Machines can understand what we are saying and talk to us. In a few years, you can speak to a machine. And that is positive. But then we have the issue of dehumanized society, pandemics, and loss of free will. So these are projections of alphabetized print man worrying about free will, all the values that came in, or the psychic apparatus that came in with the printing press. You know, whereas Chinese people, they don't worry about free will. You know, they're the millions of peasants over there, they don't have these issues. So Gerd is talking to corporations with their bias and not even aware of his own bias.
Well, and I had highlighted the, where he said loss of free will if you perceive that to be a problem, because he kind of said that under his breath. And I didn't, I mean, how could someone not perceive that as a problem? So when you just said the peasants in China, is it because you can only perceive that a problem if it's like that's a first world problem? Is he kind of saying that?
Yeah, first world problem.
Okay.
First and second world problem. Literally, okay. They don't, the individualism of the Chinese doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're a strange bunch of people, all right, compared to literate people. Now, they're...